Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to go on record. I like that shirt, Chris. I'm just telling you, I like the shirt. I'm not fond of the dance. The dance can go, but the shirt is nice. In fact, the dance isn't even a dance. It's a wounded parrot or something. It's peacock. That's a wounded peacock. I love what's going on. I love it. I'm so thankful to see things start to take shape. You got to understand, as one of the team members here, I'm so excited for what's happening. I'm so excited for what I see the Lord doing. And in a sense, the last thing in the world I want to do is teach about a building. I mean, that's what the slot is aimed for. So what I felt the Lord putting in my heart was something that would be useful and applicable to every person, but it also fits in the context of what God's called us to. Let me hear. Here, let me figure something out. I was hunting in Texas last November. Let's give thanks for Texas. Let's give thanks for hunting. I forgot to do it this time, but usually when we do a conference, I'll read off the names of the nations that have visited, and then I will ask, did I forget any countries? And Texans always yell out Texas, because you all Texans actually think you're a separate country. And so when I go there, I actually bring my passport in case something happens while I'm there. So I was there on a trip last December with a friend of mine, and I couldn't sleep one night, and so I rolled over, grabbed my iPad, and opened to I have a file of just a whole bunch of prophetic words, and I like to review them. I like to keep them before my eyes and my heart, and so I opened that up and I started reading this prophetic word that I didn't remember receiving. In fact, Michael Maiden, who was here a year ago, and actually gave us a very strong word about this new building. He said, if you don't build it now, you won't be ready for what's about to happen. And there was a sense of prophetic urgency in that word. And we heard it and said amen together. Well, that same friend, Michael Maiden, sent this to me. And I had forgotten that I had ever received it. And in this prophetic word was this. I saw a large tech company approach you wanting to partner in what you're doing and offering you a large building for a training school for technology. So like this, I'm in Texas, I read this, I went, wait a minute, that's what's starting to form right now at home. I don't think anybody knows this word was given. So it's like 2 a.m. and I had my iPad, so I copied that and I sent it to Chris. I said, hey, look, isn't this what's happening right now? Because a large tech company wanted to partner or give place for our tech school. And it was in detail what was in this word was actually what was happening. So obviously that brought great encouragement to us. And so that's what's happening. And I love the connection. If you ever study, like, it's throughout the Psalms, but it's especially in Haggai. It's in Ezra, Nehemiah. These are all building books. They all talk about building facilities. And there's this not strange, in a sense, a weird, a wrong, but unusual connection between building and prophets. It said they actually partnered with the prophets and they succeeded. Some things were actually built under the guidance or direction of the prophets. And so we believe very strongly in that. Prophets do not take the place of our responsibility to hear from God personally. But our responsibility to hear from God personally doesn't take the place of the prophet either. They work together in tandem. And so I'm very thankful when the Lord has been so kind and generous to us through the years on bringing us prophetic words. And we have a boatload right now. So I figure I'm going to have to lift about 180 to fulfill all of them. So, yeah, that's just an ugly picture right there. So let's turn in your Bibles. How about that? We've got 16 minutes left to talk to you. I want you to open to Psalm 67. And I have what I consider to be a very strange, unusual word to give on a Sunday where we're talking about buildings as we are. And yet I think hopefully it'll make sense to you once we get going. Because I believe, and I will say this, I don't use this phrase very often, but I believe prophetically I've come into an understanding of a new season, if you will, a new way that God is going to release himself to and upon and through us as a people. So hopefully this will make a little bit more sense in a moment. Let's read Psalm 67, the entire psalm. We're going to go back to one verse. I'll expand on it, share testimony, and then I want to read through it and give a little bit of context, okay? Verse 1 of Psalm 67. God, be merciful to us and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth and your salvation among the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. This psalm has required a change in perception, a change in perspective on the nature of God, the tools that he uses. We already know about his heart for the nations, but the tools that he has designed and created to literally draw in the nations, in part, are represented in this psalm. And what I want you to do is I want you to look at verse 6 again. Let me talk to you for just a few minutes on verse 6. It says, then the earth. Now, this is following the people of God coming in to a measure of blessing. A mantle or breakthrough in the area of blessing. Now, I'm not talking about get rich schemes. I'm not talking about building personal empires. I'm talking about supernatural wealth, intellectually, emotionally, relationally, in every single part of life is the design of the Lord. It includes finances, but that's not the focus. The focus here, honestly, is the overall well-being of a person who lives well with the Lord. Doesn't mean no problems or challenges. It just means he walks with us in those difficulties and brings about his redemptive solution. So verse 6, then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. I love that verse. The earth shall yield or increase. Because somehow in this unusual invitation to live in the blessing of the Lord and to see nations come to him, a part of that process is that the earth would say, all right, you can have it. I've been holding it in all this time, but now you can have it. The earth yields, surrenders its increase. We have a wonderful prayer house over here. I remember the Sunday we presented a project to the church family here years ago when people were, you know, the church had grown to a much smaller size. And it was during that time the Lord put in my heart the vision for that prayer house. I saw it sitting on this front row. And that's a long story, not for now. But when we went to raise the money that one Sunday morning, Chris had just got here and prophesied that all of that money would come in pledges or offering in that one day. And so as soon as he gave that word, I think he hid under the front row because we were going to take an offering and actually find out if it happened. So that's a quick way to test the prophetic word. It's a real quick way. Yeah, either you have it or you don't. And I think we ended up with $8.50 over the amount that was needed. And one of the kids in the church gave $10, and I think he's convinced he took us over the edge into the land of bounty. And that happened on that day. But that prayer house, my wife had a, she would manage the prayer ministry there. She had a little office. As you walk in, there's a little door to the left, and there's a small little office that was her office. And of course, she would pray there as well as in the main part and work from that little office. And she had a plant in there. And this plant, just if you can imagine being in this place where this continuous worship, like 24/7 and prayer and intercession for the nations and all that goes on there, no weddings, no Bible studies, no anything else, just prayer and worship. This little plant that would bloom every, like it would have flowers every November and December. But something happened to that plant in the time it spent in that prayer house. It finally got to where it just bloomed 12 months of the year. Just continuous 12 months of the year. Now, you have to understand, when the more pronounced the presence of God comes, the more he messes with our understanding of seasons. Jesus said in John 4, he said, you say it takes 3 months and then there's a harvest. Why did they say it took three months and then a harvest? Because that's what it takes. You plant the seed, 3 months later you get the harvest. So Jesus says, you say it takes 3 months. I say the fields are ripe and ready for harvest. Of course, he's talking about evangelism, but he's using a natural parallel. I remind you, the book of Ezekiel says, and your trees will bear fruit 12 months of the year. So here's this plant over here that would have blooms on it 12 months of the year. Benny and I bought a new house a few years ago, a little over three years ago. And the previous owner did a masterful job of hiring and having landscaping done. And so there's flowers and trees in all the right places, you know. And there's this one place right out the front and right to the right of the walkway as you go towards the house. This beautiful section of just iris flowers. I love flowers. I'm so impressed with God who would create flowers that don't do anything except look beautiful. I mean, they just look beautiful. And that God, that would be in his heart and mind. You know, he's different than we sometimes think. He's not just this industrious, functional person. He's one who loves beauty. His first miracle took place at a wedding. And it's just this heart of a celebratory father who does this stuff. So here's these irises. And we noticed a year or so ago, in fact, it was a year ago, these irises, they bloom every, I think it's March and April, or April, May, maybe. And a year ago, they had blooms in November that continued in December. And then, of course, they started again in April, in May. But then we noticed in the heat of the summer, July, they had flowers again. And then in August, in the smoky heat of August, flowers again. In September, and they've got flowers. In fact, after this Noah's flood that took place here just recently, competing with Noah's, exaggeration, but only slight. After that, it just threw up a whole bunch more flowers. And so we've got this iris plant in front of our house that is now giving us beautiful flowers basically 12 months of the year. What is it? I feel like little tiny things like this are signs to catch our attention that there's a shift in season in which he's going to function outside of nature, outside of the boundaries. It's not that nature and those responsibilities aren't fit. They are, but they are not limiting. They don't limit him. And I felt I was honestly to prophetically declare a shift in seasons where things would happen unusually so in the area of harvest and personal increase. I have a friend, I won't mention his name just to keep the focus away from him. I'm not sure he'd appreciate it. But he has thousands of orange trees. And these oranges, we have an orange tree at our house right now that our previous owner made sure was planted. It's gorgeous and it has oranges right now. I just ate a couple this week from. And so November, December, I think January, we have oranges. But my friend's orange trees, I think he's got like 12,000 of them. Half of them have oranges in like July and June, the wrong season. And they're worth like 10 times, I think it's 10 times, a huge significant increase of the value of each orange. They're also the best quality possible, and he harvests them in the wrong time of year. Nobody has them that time of year except for him. He does have a whole bunch of pastors that walk through these orange trees praying continuously. It might have something to do with the change of season. But then he told me, almost in hushed terms, that he has, I forget now if it's 6 trees or 12 trees, that actually bear oranges 12 months of the year. I feel like there's some of these things are starting to happen. It may be completely different for you, but it'll be simply a lesson to increase the awareness that God's seasons are different than ours. And they are never restrictive. They are always avenues of expression. They are times for him to reveal his heart and his abundance. Now, go back to this Psalm 67, verse 1. God be merciful to us. Boy, it all starts with mercy. Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. Grace is when we get what we don't deserve. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine on us. That phrase, cause his face to shine upon us, is a prayer for the favor of a loving father, his countenance to actually be seen on our countenance, that his delight over us would be actually seen and evidenced on our own expression, our own, the way we do life. This prayer reveals what I believe is a very serious mandate. We are responsible to pray for the blessing of God in our personal lives. It is a responsibility. We owe the world around us a blessed life. Now, again, I'm not talking about materialistic empires. I'm talking about pursuing the favor of God manifested on our lives, because the next verse says that your way would be known on earth. They won't know what kind of father you're like unless you do something unusually bountiful with my life, with my relationships, with my health, with my finances, with favor, open doors. All these things are supposed to be marked with an unusual sense of favor and blessing. And we owe each other that kind of personal prayer life. God, bless me. Let it come from your mercy, God. Bless me. Cause your face to shine on me. Otherwise, they won't know what kind of a father you are. But notice the next phrase. It says, and your salvation to the nations. Goodness gracious. Is it possible that a last day revival, the harvest, the billion soul harvest, at least in part comes because the nature of a perfect father was seen upon a people that hosted and carried his favor and his blessings well? It's the calling card. It's the invitation, if you will. Hey, I have a father. He really cares for you as much as he cares for me. I want you to know what his favor looks like. I want you to know what his blessing looks like. He'll make a complete difference in your home and your marriage and your business. That's what we live, is we live in this privileged opportunity to introduce a perfect father to a world, a planet of orphans, to be frank. Then verse 3 and 4 just talk about this, what happens when the nations come to the Lord. They bless the Lord. They live in joy. The nations are healthy. And then we get down to verse 5, let the peoples praise you, all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. Here's what I want you to notice. Verse 1 says, God, please bless us. Verse 6 says, God shall bless us. There's a point in your prayer life where you stop asking and you start decreeing. There's a point in our prayer life where we stop asking. I can feel it. There are times in my own time with him, it feels as though if I ask again, it will be an offense. I don't mean he's angry at me. I mean, I'm not tapping into the moment he created for me, because there's a point where it's fruitless to ask, because it's been settled. It now must be decreed. And it's in the decree that things, the purposes of God, actually begin to unfold in a realized fashion. Jesus did this before he ever healed anyone, before he ever opened blind eyes or caused the lame to walk or anything. He declared in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, open the blind eyes, recovery of sight to the blind, the healing of the lame. He made the decree before anything happened, because he was acknowledging, this is what's happened to me, and this is the reason. And I'm telling you, folks, decree over your own life. I am blessed by God as a testimony to the nations, because the billion soul harvest I get to be involved in. I have a role, I have a part to play, because the favor of God is on my life, and there is someone that's going to see it. I don't mean we all get broadcast on the news. Who would want that anyway? But somebody is going to see it. Another family, another individual is going to see there's something unusual resting upon that person. And it's the attractant. It's the invitation, if you will. It's on your life and mine. And here it is. God shall bless us. God, our own God, shall bless us. God, verse 7, God shall bless us. And here's a prophetic decree. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Don't get messed up by that fear, because the fear of God in a right sense draws us to him. Yes. The fear of God in a perverted sense repels people from him.
That's right.
Yes. So that was worth the entire day right there. This right here is a decree. It's a prophetic decree that says God shall bless us. In fact, say this with me. God shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. You know what? This whole arise and build, this is the tip of the iceberg. It may look huge to you and to me, but it's the tip of the iceberg, because it represents something that's not just about Bethel or about Reading. It is about the global expansion of what God is doing on the planet through like-hearted, like-minded people that will give themselves for the transformation of cities and nations around the world. That is what is in process. And that building will become the testimony of God's nature. It will become a tool that is used to facilitate revivalists going throughout all the world. And it will be the canvas. The whole thing that we build there is a canvas that illustrates our understanding of who he is and how we value people. That is the nature of that building. I want you to stand, if you would, please. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. God shall bless us. Say it. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. I know we've got such a wonderful, huge online community, and man, we love and bless you guys. I love running into you various places around the world. I want you to join with us. We're going to say it again. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. I want to give you permission to pray. In fact, permission and an assignment to pray for personal blessing. He would not direct us to pray for something if it wasn't his intention to answer. He also would not direct us to pray something if it would happen without our praying. He doesn't direct us in prayer if he's going to do it anyway without our prayer. In other words, he invites us into this covenantal role where we bring petition before him because it's his heart to do it. But without the prayer, it won't happen. I'm not saying he won't do anything. I'm just saying the potential is never reached without the full cooperation with what he has designed. Just put a hand on somebody's shoulder next to you, and I want you to pray the abundance of the blessing and favor of God to rest upon that life and that household in this next season. In this next season, the abundance of God's favor, the abundance of God's favor on that household this next season. I want you to declare over them, God shall bless you. God shall bless you. God is in the process of blessing you. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen. Father, I pray that this would just increase You did so good. Look at you. You look like you actually like each other. It's beautiful. One more thing. One more thing real quickly. Hold your place if you would. Anytime we gather together, there's always the chance there are people here that do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. You don't know what it is to be born again, is the term the Bible uses. Transformed from the inside out, forgiven of sin, brought into God's family. And if there's anybody here that's in that place, and you would say, Bill, I don't want to leave the building till I know I am right with God. Till I know what it is to have peace with God, then I want you to do that by just putting a hand up and just saying, Bill, that's me. I don't want to leave the building till I know I've been forgiven of sin. I've been brought into the family of God. Anyone online that is in this moment with us, and you would say, I want to give my life to Jesus. We have pastors online. And just put in the chat room, I want to know Jesus. I want his forgiveness. Just put that in there, and one of the pastors will join with you. Amen. Bless you. Who's helping me? Look, the queen herself is coming up here. Come on, Jesus.